Single white trailer, all down on the floor. Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are raising the standard on what it means to be a man of God. Today's podcast topic could potentially be one of the most important topics that we need to talk about as Christian men. We are talking about Jesus' model for making disciples. And when I talk about his model, we're talking about what we see him do, what we can read in the pages of Scripture in Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, and even into Acts. But not only that, we see the disciples living this out. And when you see their ministry playing out through the rest of the pages of the New Testament, we get a really good glimpse of how Jesus made disciples. And what I want to do today is just give you 5 points that I see him doing, and I want you to think about it and then ask yourself, how do I replicate that in my own life? I think there's this great mystery in the church and even outside the church when it comes to discipleship. We've made it either something so heavy, like taking college classes, that it takes 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years to disciple someone. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, or we make it that something incredibly watered down and it's just kind of hanging out and we're just quote unquote, you know, pouring into people or something like that. There's a real intentionality to it. And so if we tell someone that you just should go make disciples, that is incredibly intimidating, especially if you have never seen that replicated in your own life. What I'm finding is more and more people have not been discipled. They haven't seen it modeled for them. And it's really challenging to take someone to a place that you have never journeyed yourself. So today we're going to spend some time looking at 5 points when it comes to how Jesus made disciples. And again, how we apply that to our life. All right, man, it is time for today's show. All right, man, as we said in the beginning, we're going to take a look at Jesus' model of discipleship. One of the last things Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:19 is to go into all the world and to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We get this idea that this must only be for missionaries that leave the continental U.S. and go and live in countries that don't have Wi-Fi, or, you know, this seemed like they're surrounded by all these dirt roads. That must be for those guys. They make disciples and they teach Jesus. Meanwhile, we just get to live the American dream over here, and we're gonna work hard, we're gonna play hard, we're gonna enjoy the weekends, No, there's a real intentionality and expectation when it comes to making disciples. You know, I say this jokingly, but I'm also serious when I think about it, especially if you get beyond the surface of what I'm about to say. But imagine standing before Jesus someday and he asks, hey, how did you do at that making disciples thing? And your reply would be, oh, I didn't think that was for me. I thought that was for other people. I thought that was for missionaries. I thought that was for pastors, clergymen. You know, I thought that was youth guys like having coffee with, you know, teenagers at a Starbucks. I thought that was for them. No, it's for everybody, right? And so what we want to do is take a look at Jesus' model of discipleship in the Gospels. And I think we're going to find a model that we would do well if we replicate it in our own lives. And so you can look at these things and say, okay, the first and foremost, before we ever get into this model, is identifying that you need to connect with other people. And for as men, and this podcast is directed towards men, specifically Christian men, we don't always do well at connecting with other people. We are too busy. We are too tired. We drive too far to work. We are too. We're always a bunch of tutus, right? That's all we do. We're always to this, to that. And I say this not to be a martyr, not to be anything. Many of you know that I'm full-time ministry. I do Pursuit of Manliness, in a sense, full-time on the side as well. I have 3 children. We have soccer Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and we have worship practice on Wednesday night, games all day Saturday. We have church on Sunday. We're doing, right? And so it comes down to making things that are eternal a priority in your life. And sometimes you have to look at seasons of life and say, how do we do that? How do we intentionally pour into those people? One of the ways that I'm currently doing that right now is through Tribe. Tribe is our 6-month discipleship community. Now, this is not one-on-one, face-to-face, sitting in a coffee shop. There are guys in Tribe that I do see on a regular basis face-to-face, but a majority of them are all over the country, but we connect very, very intentionally. There's even a schedule of how often we're going to connect and in what ways that we connect. And you can do this if you desire to do this. But like anything in life, it comes simply down to a want to. You have to have a want to and a conviction of your heart that, you know what, God really does expect me to do this and I need to do it. Just because I can't do it perfectly, just because I don't have all the answers, just because, you know, there might be things I'm going to flub up and I'm not going to know, that should not stop us from intentionally pouring into other people. First and foremost, to our spouse, our wives, and then intentionally to our children. But you have to move beyond the walls of your house. When he says to go into all the world, the assumption was that you would go. The very first word is go, that you would actually go and do these things. So we have to wake up our hearts. We have to have a revival inside of each of us that says, you know what? I need to do this. And I need to get connected to things like pursuit of manliness and other things that will give me resources, that will give me scripture, that will give me podcast or whatever the resource you feel like you're desiring so that you can go. People that you're able to reach, I'm not able to reach. And vice versa. So we need to go. There are people going to hell that don't know Jesus, and we need to go to them. We need to have that conviction of our heart that, boy, time is not our friend. We need to get, and we need to go, and we need God to lead us and go before us. So guys, we're going to get into these five things here and just unpack them. Hopefully we'll not preach at you, but I just want to unpack them and then hopefully explain why this is so important when it comes to the discipleship model. First and foremost, he called them out. And so you start with an invitation. Jesus called out each man that followed him. He called them at work. He called them out under a tree, in a boat, wherever he came in contact with them. There was not an environment that was off limits. So if the guy's at your work, that is okay. If you feel like God is calling you to invite him into a discipleship relationship here, discipleship should start with an invitation. It can be an invitation to an event, a cookout, dinner, anywhere else where you connect with other guys who potentially are on the verge of wanting to follow Jesus. Maybe they know nothing about Jesus. It literally could be on any end of the spectrum when it comes to their walk with Christ, as far as knowing nothing to very little about him to being, you know, fairly mature. I wouldn't start with somebody who is a great theologian and say, I'm going to disciple you. No, start with someone who is ideally hungry and or willing to pursue more about the things of God. And so you invite them onto your turf, or if you can, you get on in their level, wherever that is. I mean, if the guy, you know, loves sports, invite him to a ball game or whatever. Don't make it a trap. You know, have them over, and while you're sitting at the table, say, well, Bob, I thought this would be a great time to invite you to, you know, get to know them a little bit better. He was Jesus, okay? He already knew them before they knew who he was. You're not. So when he called them out, he knew exactly who he was calling. And remember, when Jesus went different places with people and interacted with him, not all of them followed Jesus. So not everyone will take your invitation. What I would say is start out with a person that you feel like God has put in your life. Get to know them a little bit better. Connect with them in some environment where guys connect. Maybe just try to, you know, sit by them or connect with them at a men's breakfast or a sporting event, or if your kids go to the same school, whatever. Just try to seek them out and connect with them, and then see if you can't get to know them a little bit better. And then maybe that is the time to extend the invitation of, you know, hey, this is something that's been on my heart. Would you consider doing this? And you know, and again, you can't disciple someone if they don't know you and you don't connect with them. I will say this. The key to this is both people have to be willing. I have had people approach me and say, hey, will you disciple me, or reach out to me through Facebook or through email or through whatever. And when I say Facebook, email, they're not necessarily asking for discipleship, but they are asking for help. And they're asking for, you know, I'm lonely, or I don't have guys in my life, or I feel lost. I don't know about my purpose. I don't know. You know, the questions are there's a variety of questions. And then you send something back or reply back, and you may never hear back from them again. I've had people ask me in real life about discipleship, and then they just kind of ignore it. And so both people have to be willing. A discipleship relationship is not that you chase them down. Like, if you're chasing them down, that is more of an accountability relationship than a discipleship relationship. A discipleship relationship needs to be predicated upon you both agree, hey, we're going to do this for at least a certain period of time, and both people are willing and able to do it. That doesn't mean one won't be more zealous about it than the other, but they both are going, yeah, I'm in. Let's both do. We are both moving this same direction together. You don't want to drag them, and you don't want to force them. And you definitely don't want to trick them. Like, you don't want to be the person that adds everyone on Facebook as their friends, and then you find out they're selling something. You're like, wait a minute, this was a trap. Don't be that guy, okay? And if you do connect with them, make sure you understand, like, we're going to get this thing. It's going to be confidential. You can't post stuff on social media. You need to be somebody who's living above reproach. If you're, you know, kind of that marginal guy who's, you know, got some crude joking or, you know, has some questionable, that's probably not the person that most people are going to desire to disciple them. They want to see some fruit in your life. So first and foremost, Jesus called them out. We do the same thing by inviting them, okay? Number two, he taught them truth. The truth that Jesus taught was all about him, all about the kingdom of heaven, all about applying the word of God. Jesus taught them truth to help them understand who they were and what the purpose of the disciple was in the kingdom of heaven. Your discipleship needs to be about Jesus. Yes, you will probably share some things about your journey, maybe even your Bible study habits, what worship means to you, what God is teaching. Yes, you will, but it cannot be about you. This is not Jedi, Padawan, whatever that weird stuff. It's not that, okay? It has to be point them to Jesus. This is not Leadership Training 101. This is you getting them more like Christ. I wish all of our leadership, see, I think you could talk anything in leadership. And I think a Christian should be able to talk any leadership component in any circle because Christians should be leaders. We should be leading by example. We should be the head, not the tail. Okay. We need to be the ones leading out in this stuff. So when we talk about return on your investments, things like that, I think all that stuff is on the table for a Christian. A Christian should be the most resourced and equipped believer in and out of the workplace. But what we're talking about right here is a discipleship relationship, getting people to be more like Christ so that they become a disciple who makes disciples. Like, you want them to replicate that. We're going to get into that, but you don't want them to replicate you again. As much as you might like you and as great as you might think that you are or the things that you have learned or my journey is this, great, but it's more about getting them to know Jesus. That's it. And that's a challenge because I know in my realm, in my world, there's so many things that come up. I think, oh, I had that moment where, and this would apply directly to this. And what I find is, and more times than not, when you're sharing the story, people really, they're not really that enamored with your story because one, they haven't been in those places. Or if you're trying to tell, I've done this before, try to tell them like how bad you had it somewhere else. And even in this season, like you understand when I was here, we went through this and they're like, oh, okay. They really don't care because they just don't want to have to go through it themselves, right? Like, oh, that sucks, but good on you. So we want to get we have to keep Jesus as our focus. Everything is Jesus. We got to get back to Jesus. So when we're talking about discipleship, and you might be a dynamic financial planner. That's great. But it's not about financial planning. It's about Jesus, okay? If financial planning comes through the friendship and the relationship, that's different. So Jesus did everything about pointing them towards the kingdom of heaven. Again, chances are high that you're not going to turn your garage into a Sunday school class. I hope you don't do that. You're just grabbing a burger with them. You're hanging out somewhere and you're connecting. You can do it on the phone. We do it on Zoom calls. You could do it a lot of different ways. But again, the best teaching is probably done by getting out of your normal routine. So again, going to a Buffalo Wild Wings or going to a game, like, you know, just connecting with them in different environments. Okay. We don't want to make it complicated. We just want to be intentional about it. So start by identifying the person and inviting them into something like this, and then begin to looking at truth. So as you're going to talk about truth, and this is the discipleship journey, get them like in the Word of God, like go through the book of John or look at Jesus' life or, hey, we're both going to read, you know, Matthew 10 today or whatever. And then you have talking points from that, and then you have something you can share with one another. Otherwise, you're just shooting from the hip. You can I'm sure you could purchase discipleship curriculum. I know I have some resources about discipleship or whatever. What I don't think you want to do is give them a book on discipleship. I think you want to point them towards Jesus. Give them a book for like maybe number three that we're going to talk about in just a second. But you want to point them towards the Word of God. And while you're doing this, teaching them truth, you're learning it as well. Like your sword. So your sword is getting sharper as you are, you know, connecting with them, and you're both learning together. And they're going to share things you're like, "Wow, I never saw it from that angle." Or they're going to ask you questions that you're going to have to say, "You know, I don't know." So once you identify the person, this is the discipleship process. Then is all about pointing them towards Jesus, pointing them towards the Word of God, talking about the role that we play within the kingdom of heaven, talk about the importance of making disciples, the importance of the relationship that you guys are forming at that point, the reason why we connect is because of this. And then at some point in this, you begin to talk about what's next. I mean, everything in our life should be predicated upon what's next, even how we live right now. What's next? Eternity, right? We're always thinking about the next thing. The same is true when it comes to discipleship. The two of you will not be in a discipleship relationship for the next 10 years. You might, but you should continue to make disciples on the side. Now, if you two want to keep connecting and to get, that's great. But don't forget, at some point, it's about making disciples, that person does this. Because that's number three. He sent them out. So Jesus called them out. He taught them truth. And then he sends them out. He sent them out two by two, told them don't take anything for their journey. You know, this was a grocery store run for your 16-year-old type of sending out. Go out for a bit, come back shortly, right? I just want to see if you can handle this responsibility. He puts them together. He pairs them up. Some really interesting pairings there. We won't get into that. But he sends them out together. So together, they're saying, remember when he shared? Oh, yeah. And they're learning together, okay? So you're sending out originally could be like going on a hospital visit, you know, visiting someone in your church who's older, who you know doesn't get out as well. It could be, you know, doing a project at someone's house, that you're doing things other than just sitting and talking. We can get really good at just sitting and talking and drinking a great cup of coffee, right? Get ourselves a pour over, lean back, sit here for a couple hours. Let's shoot the bull, talk a little Jesus, talk a little sports. Let's call it. I don't believe that's what Jesus did. I do think there were times where he hung out with them. I bet he was the best person to hang out with. I bet he told the best jokes. I bet he had the best stories. But ultimately, let's prepare you to be active participants in the kingdom of heaven, not just consumers. You know, so when he says, go therefore, you know, they're like, okay, I think we're going to go. I think something's going to happen. And then we see in the book of Acts, in Pentecost, you know, this thing just blows up. The world has never seen anything like this, right? So then he talks about a different journey, you know, take money, a money bag, a knapsack, take a sword. You know, this is a different kind of trip that's going to be a little more costlier. It's going to be a little more abrasive, that you're going to have to, you're probably going to have moments that you're going to get a little concerned for your own safety. At some point, the one you are discipling should begin to disciple somebody else. This can happen after 12 months, you know, maybe a few months, who knows? Again, it just depends. You know, do you get to meet once a week? Do you meet, you know, I heard someone say they're in a Bible study every night. I'm like, no, don't do it every night. Yes, you should be in the Bible every night. I don't know if you want to get in a Bible study with people every night. It seems like a lot, but I don't want to participate in that. But so, you know, maybe after a year, maybe after a few years, I don't know. But again, at some point, you guys then look for who can we disciple, right? Now you have two people discipling two more people. It's like snow. We're picking up a little more snowball here. You know, usually the period of time should be agreed upon before you get going, or even after you're getting into this, like, listen, we're not going to do this forever. You know, let's evaluate after a year, whatever. You want to create some agreements and expectations, right? So they don't just continue to depend on you spiritually. Jesus told him it was better for him to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. Listen, guys, I can't be with you all the time. We're going to slow this thing down. The Holy Spirit is for all people. Now we can really cover the ground instead of having Jesus walk with these disciples everywhere he went or sending them out intentionally. Now I'm going to spread you out all over the earth, right? They need to learn to feed themselves. They learn to feed other people. And you are sending them out. It will help that process. You're sending them out helps that process, all right? Number four, Jesus brings them back. What I mean by that is he checked on his disciples while he was on earth and even after his death. right? So after his death, you see him appearing to them, but while on earth, when he sent them out, he calls them back, he brings them back, is a testament to the investment he's made into them. And your bringing them back will be a testament to the investment that you've made in them as well. So this guy that you discipled a couple of years ago, you periodically give him a call or shoot him a text or Facebook, whatever your thing was, and say, hey, I'm just checking up on you. How's it going? Well, I haven't connected with anyone for like 2 or 3 years. Okay, what's going on? Do we need to get this thing going again? And maybe you reconnect and go, let's get back into this. All right, let's, you know, you made an investment into them initially. Keep that investment going, right? When the disciples returned after their first mission trip, Jesus immediately tells them that all they needed to do was get away for some rest. So we could touch people through all sorts of technology, and you could shoot them a text, you know, late at night, and you could send them a message that they're going to find in the morning. Hey, man, I'm praying for you, or hey, I'm reminded of when we shared, Romans 3, talking about that. But at the end of the day, you want to connect with the person in real life in the most effective way possible. So whatever that is. So we could touch base with them in a variety of different ways. I mean, the ideal way is face-to-face. I know in our world that is not always possible. Sometimes, I've been sitting in traffic or somewhere where I'm just kind of in this limbo state, and I'll think of someone and, maybe shoot them a text. I had a time where, I just couldn't sleep one morning. It's really early for me. I don't get up early, so it was really early. And I got up, I'm in the Word of God, I'm reading, I'm praying, and I just felt like God laid certain people in my heart. And so in that moment, I just started shooting them text messages. I hope it didn't wake them up. But ideally, following up with those people, that you don't just kind of wash your hands of them and go, well, that was a good 12 months. That there's a real spiritual investment, that you're on a journey with them so that ultimately you can send them out. It's kind of like raising kids. You're really pouring into them for a period of time, but they spend the majority of their life outside of your house, hopefully. And that's what we're doing with people that we are discipling. Let them know this is not forever. This is not me putting you in a spiritual high chair. I'm just going to keep spoon feeding you food into your mouth. We're both going to learn to eat at the same time. But the ideal picture is that eventually you're going to move into the booth with other people and you're going to eat as well. So you need to learn to feed yourself and feed other people. Number five, he had them share. Jesus let the disciples share. Not that you wouldn't do this, but I think there's a tendency in this discipling type relationship, even when that calling back, that you still see yourself as like this authority figure. Like you were their boss and now you're not their boss, but you still see yourself as the boss. Or you were the leader, you're not the leader. You need to see them as, hey, we're both on mission together. While you were the one that did disciple them, but now you are co-laborers together. Hey, brother, praying for you for this. Hey, I'm thankful for this or whatever. Jesus allowed the disciples to share their wins and losses, and then he just keeps repeating the cycle over and over again. He called them to an even higher call each time and then sends them back to repeat it over. Tell me about it. Tell me what's going on here, right? We should do the exact same thing. It's good to hear from those who are putting into practice what we hopefully have taught them and have showed them through Scripture, right? And at the same time, we can learn from them. So something you taught them, they're applying, and you're like, man, I totally forgot I said that. I had someone do that to me recently. The sermon was over. A few hours later, they were talking about something I had said. To this moment, I don't recall saying that, but if God bless them. If that's what happened, praise Jesus, right? And so maybe they're taking something you said and applying it and thinking through it in a different light and going, okay, this is how I apply that. That's great, but shame on us. Shame on every single one of us if we ever get to a place where we feel like we have nothing to learn from anybody else. Even my children, I can learn from them. And I have been around leaders who truly believe that like they are the ones that God is speaking to. They're almost infallible. How dare you to think to challenge them or change, and the truth be told, it's really, really sad. And could you imagine what God could do in and through those people who are leaders if they had a few doses of ounces of humility? I mean, could you imagine what can happen in each and every one of us if we just pursued having a humble heart towards God and his people and the people that God places in our life to learn from them, right? Especially the next generation. The tension is the next generation, whatever generation that is for you, whether it's a millennial or someone that's I'm in my 40s, so maybe it's someone my age, if you're older than me, whatever, that the generation behind you doesn't want to listen. Well, That might be true, but sometimes it feels like the generation ahead of us doesn't listen either. And so you want to have a cyclical relationship that I can communicate, you communicate, we both learn from each other. You know, where you're learning, I'm learning, we can get better together. That's what we say with Pursuit of Manliness. Let's build better men together. The pursuit of manliness is better today because of the engagement of countless men through different platforms that we use. The current session of Tribe is incredible right now because of the investment of the men that are in that group. That it's better. So you have what the platform starts out to be at the beginning of Tribe, and then the quality goes up or down depending on the engagement and the dialogue that happens. The Pursuit of Manliness closed group is better today because of the engagement of people that are in that group. When we can get together and I learn from you, you learn from me, man, we just get better. And that's ultimately what we're after, and that's what discipleship is. Let's get better, but let's get better for Jesus. So let's become disciples who make disciples. And again, this is challenging if you've never had anyone teach you how to do this. But look at that model. I need to identify somebody. So I want to call them out. I want to invite them to be a part of something. God, who do you want me to disciple? I believe I should do this. Who do you want me to disciple? Teach them truth. Buy a resource. Download it off the internet. Go through the podcast a week or listen to, you know, what, read blog post, whatever you want to do. Hey, we're just going to learn about this together. He sends them out. So eventually after a period of time, they go and begin to do the same thing. He brings them back. So he reconnected with them and then he has them share as he brings them back. I want to learn from you guys. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear your perspective. That's a powerful, powerful tool, right? This model is incredibly effective because that's why Jesus modeled it for us. The simplicity of it allows you to take a look at yourself and your discipleship relationship and ask, where am I on this list right now? I believe most of us need just to start at number one. I need to identify that person and invite them. Or maybe you have that person in your life and you go, number two, I'm just going to move to the next one. We look at where we are currently and ask ourselves, well, what will it take to get to that next step in the maturing process of growth? Because when you get to that maturing process and you start moving along that that graph towards growth and maturity, God does even more works in your life. God teaches you things about himself. He teaches you things about yourself. He opens your eyes, your heart, your mind, your eyes and ears, the whole deal to who he is. And we have no idea how amazing God is and the work he wants to do in your life. When he talks about the plans I have for you, this isn't that you'll attend university, you'll work for 30 years, you'll retire. That's not the plans he's talking about. He's talking about incredible plans beyond anything that we can think or comprehend. So we have to ask ourselves, where am I at? How do I move to that next step? And once you complete those steps, we start the whole thing all over again, men. All right? I want you to stay connected to the Pursuit of Manliness as we keep learning what this looks like. I'd love to invite you to be a part of 30 and 30. We take 30 days starting September 1st to September 30th. And we pursue health, spiritual, mental, physical, relational health. It's $1 a day. So for $30, for $1 a day, you are going to get a video a day, engagement with other men, a downloadable PDF page for journal page. Again, the more we engage, the better we get. And what an environment to do that at, man. Go to the Pursuit of Manliness. I think it's on the homepage, 30 and 30, or search 30 and 30. Click the link. Get signed up. Let's start this now. September 1st, you have just under 2 weeks left to do this. We have a closed group, Pursuit of Manliness, /groups/Pursuit of Manliness. You know, some of you guys asked about Tribe. Tribe will not open again for registration till middle of October. It will kick off the 1st of December. But I can't speak high enough about it because the quality of guys that are in there, it's incredible to see the relationships and the growth and to hear them talk about the growth that is being noticed by other people in their life. And as always, man, check us out. We're on iTunes, Google Play, so you can find this podcast a couple different places. So there's just a lot of environments where the Pursuit of Manliness is because we want to reach you right where you're at. Not every platform has the same content. So love to engage with you, love to connect with you. Love to continue raising the standard of what it means to be a man of God. All right, guys, talk to you soon. What thing you will see is that your love.